Last week, we heard the first part of this story, where Jesus went into the synagogue and opened the scroll and read the passage, and then this week, we see sort of the response. Last week, I talked about the idea of habits, and if it's actually possible, since William James says that most of life is a bundle of different habits, is it possible that sometimes our religious views or what we think about God and things like that are actually more of a habit than we realize? And then this week, we look at their response to Jesus, which is an interesting response, right? Because at the beginning, they talk about what a wonderful person he was and how he spoke such great things. And then Jesus goes on to start talking with them some more. They say, well, isn't this Jesus? Don't we know him? Doesn't he live down the block? And then Jesus talks to them about God's favor and God's movement on people that were not the chosen people, but people outside of Israel. And they got very, very angry. So angry that they wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. Now, I've had people upset at my sermons before, but not that upset, you know. And luckily in Ohio, it's mostly flat except for a few places here and there. But that's how upset they were. They went from, here's Jesus, he speaks so nice, he does such a great job, to wanting to throw him off of a cliff. Something went wrong in that little intervention of time. Well, what Jesus was telling them was, you know, I know that you're going to say, do heal thyself, do what you've done in other places, do that here. And then Jesus gets into this conversation with them about the idea of who is really chosen and really where God's work happens. And that actually it happens all over the place to all kinds of people. And so this week I wanted to spend a little bit of time thinking about the idea of the regular way. Because what Jesus was saying in essence in this little passage when he started talking about Naaman and all them is that God's regular way is to show kindness and love to all people, even those people that are our enemies. And that is what upset them the most. And so I started wondering, kind of in the same line of thinking about what habits we have and what those make us think and believe about God, I started thinking about what is it that we consider to be the regular way? And can the regular way actually lead us astray if we don't know how we got there and why we do that? Seth Godin talks about the ivory statues that we think of, the Greek statues. You know, if in your mind you have an image of them, the ivory white, maybe off-white statues. David is one of those. And what Seth Godin has said is that actually what we're discovering is that many of those statues were painted. They weren't the ivory white we think of. They were painted, and sometimes in really almost, I mean, I hate to say it because it's art and all that, but what we might see as kind of gaudy, kind of bright colors, and sometimes the painters weren't as good as the original artists, and so the painting is a little bit off. But when they keep finding these statues, they keep finding them painted. And when we think about that, and when people go into museums and they see these works of art painted, they get very upset because that's not the regular way. The regular way is for these statues to be standing there in that kind of pristine white or maybe a little off-white. That's how we think of marble statues. But is the regular way that we do church? What is the regular way that we think a pastor should be? Or a church member should be? What's the regular way that we should do worship? What's the regular way that the sanctuary should look like? What's the regular kind of people that should be sitting in the pews or standing in the pulpit? What's the regular amount of time? Well, we know that's given by God, so it can't be over an hour. But what is, other than that, what is the regular way we meet? What is the regular order of worship? Now, I'm not against having traditions and kind of things that we follow, and that can be absolutely beneficial. It can kind of create sort of a wave and a flow that helps us. But when it gets to a point where we think this is the right way and that's the wrong way because we happen to experience it and like it one way or the other, then we've gotten off track. Do you realize that there's probably nothing that we do today in worship that Jesus probably did? They didn't have pews. They didn't have pulpits like this. They had robes, but they all wore them. They didn't have stoles. They didn't have microphones. Jesus didn't do communion like we're going to do communion. Didn't speak in the same language that we're speaking. So the regular way sometimes is very different maybe than what we're used to. Sometimes when we say the regular way, what we're talking about is the way I'm used to. Or the way I'm comfortable with. But what I think this passage reveals to us in the response of the people when Jesus talks to them, what I think it reveals to us is that when we're talking and thinking about the regular way, we should think about what it is behind that expression that God's really trying to do. So when we have communion and we take the piece of bread and dip it into the wine or to the juice, that might be our regular way for what that we've been doing for a while. But what's really important is to look what's behind the wine and the juice. We might sing songs together, and I think this week we know all these songs, right? But, you know, there was a time when people didn't sing songs. There was actually a time in church history where the minister sat and the people stood. That would be interesting. All these things that we experience and see as normal and regular are actually expressions of us trying to live out something really important. And so we should be careful about what we hold on to, the forms that we hold on to, as though they were the regular kind, and stop and look and say, what is it that this is trying to teach us about God and God's love? Tony Campolo, who I like, and I agree with on some things, I disagree with on a lot of things, he was telling a story, and I've told this a lot because I think it's a great story. He was telling a story about going to Honolulu, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke up because of the time difference, and he was hungry. And so he went to this little restaurant, this little greasy spoon in an alley, and he said there were no tables. There were just these stools along the counter, and so he sat down. And he said it was kind of a dirty place, and the guy came out smoking a cigar and pulled it out and said, what do you want? Then he said, well, have a cup of coffee and a donut. And so the guy wiped his hands and grabbed the donut. This sounds familiar to a story I already told you. I don't have a thing about that. This is a story that I'm telling today. So he's drinking the coffee and eating the donut. He said about 3:30 in the morning, all of a sudden in come about 10 or 12 prostitutes. And he said there wasn't a lot of room in the space, and so they sat on each side of him, and he said he was trying to shrink and get out of the way, and he said the lady beside him started talking and said, well, you know, tomorrow is my birthday. And the lady beside her said, well, I don't care why you tell me this. Well, you want a birthday party, or you want me to sing for you, what? Well, he said, I don't want anything from you. She said, I've never had a birthday party. She said, I was just telling you it's my birthday tomorrow. And so after a little while, all the ladies left, and Tony said to the guy, he said, you know what? He said, I have an idea. He said, what if I come back tomorrow night and we decorate this place? And he said, you saw that lady sitting beside me? He said, yeah. He said, her name's Agnes. He said, why don't we decorate this place and we'll have a birthday party for Agnes? And the guy said, that is a fantastic idea. He said, I'll bake the cake. So Tony went out and he went to Walmart and bought the streamers and the balloons and the happy birthday sign. About 3 o'clock came in and decorated the place up. He said by 3:15 there were so many prostitutes in that restaurant that you could barely move. It was a small one to start with. And he said when Agnes walks in the door, he said he had them all riled up and they yelled, happy birthday, Agnes. And she was so surprised, her legs buckled beneath her, and they caught her and steadied her and sat her down, and they started singing her happy birthday. And they brought out the cake, and she was crying, and the guy behind the counter is like, that's enough, Agnes, just blow out the candles, Agnes. And she couldn't blow them out, so he blew them out. And then he gave her a knife and said, cut the cake, Agnes, just cut the cake. He's trying to move it along. And she looked at Tony and she said, I don't want to cut the cake. She said, is there any way that I can show my mom this cake? She said, I've never had a birthday cake before. And Tony said, okay. So she stood up and he said, you're doing it now? She said, I'm just 2 doors down. She said, I'll show my mom and then I'll come back. I promise I'll bring it right back. So she walked out the door and he said the place was silent. The guy behind the counter said, hey, I thought you said you were a psychology professor. You're also a minister, aren't you? And Tony said, yeah. He said, well, what kind of church do you go to? And Tony said, well, I go to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the guy said, no, you don't. He said, because I would go to a church like that. My friends, that's the regular way. To find the way to show God's love to the people that need to hear it. That is the regular way. Amen.